Buksan po natin ang ating Biblia sa Marcos, Kabanata 12, talata 38 hanggang 40. Babasahin ko ito sa Magandang Balita Biblia. Matatagpuan ang passage na ito sa page 12 sa e-bulletins, or you can follow along the screen. Sa kanyang pagtuturo, sinabi ni Jesus, "Mag-ingat kayo sa mga tagapagturo ng kautusan na mahilig magpalakad-lakad na suot ang kanilang mahabang damit at gustong-gustong binabati ng may paggalang sa mga pamilihan. Ang gusto nila ay ang mga natatanging upuan sa mga sinagoga at ang mga upuang pandangal sa mga handaan. Inuubos nila ang kabuhayan ng mga byuda at ang mahahaba nilang dasal ay may pagkukunwari lamang. Dahil dyan, mas mabigat na parusa ay gagawat sa kanila." Mga kaibigan, ito ang salita ng Diyos. Please be seated.
Magandang gabi ho sa inyong lahat, and muli, welcome to this gathering of Crossroads Church of Dubai. Ako po si Alvin Litono, and I serve as one of the elders ng iglesia na ito. If this is your first time to be with us, glad to see you. I pray that this would not be the first and final gathering niyo sa amin. We would like to get to know you for maybe later after an service. Meron kayong mga members na lumapit sa inyo, kung hindi sila familiar sa inyo, just say hi. So they're happy to know you guys. So, and also after ng service, we are continuing our ating study sa Old Testament survey, and tonight it's going to be Deuteronomy. We have almost done sa ating Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Deuteronomy ito na yung last sa Pentateuch, and then we'll continue on sa other Old Testament study. So we invite you after ng service. It is our third week in our sermon series in the Gospel according to Mark, where we are studying the life and ministry nating Panginoong Hesukristo. We are in the Passion Week na tinatawag. Passion Week started when Jesus Christ arrived sa Jerusalem and binigyan po siya ng masigabong pagsalubong ng mga masa, joyfully welcoming Jesus as they greeted Him, "Hosanna to the highest, in the highest." However, we have also witnessed yung time na yon, yung Jesus' righteous indignation. When He arrived at the temple, nakita niya maraming bentahan ng mga negosyo, mga korupsyon, mga kalakaran na nangyayari ron. Righteous indignation means God's holy anger. He cleared the temple. Kaya yung time na yon is nagsimula yung muli pong yung away o yung init. Okay, yung heated encounter niya sa mga Pharisees ay nagpatuloy na lumagablab, ika nga. But then again, Jesus' popularity also grew noong time na yun. Kaya ang religious leaders plan to discredit Him. So they bombarded Him with series of questions, which is mga inaral natin for the past weeks. They questioned His credibility, ang kanyang authority. They asked political questions regarding paying taxes to Caesar, or whether to do that or not. They ask theological questions about the resurrection. They ask legal questions regarding the greatest commandment. And last week, we saw that Jesus was not done with the Q&As. He was the one who threw the next question. A question about the true identity of the Christ, which is wala po silang nasagot. You could have imagined Jesus saying, "Thought so." Hindi niya masagot. It has been obvious sa study natin na ang temptation ng mga scribes and Pharisees ay praises of men. That has been their weakness. Jesus knows that His disciples are prone to such temptations. So He warns them. At yun ang titignan natin ngayong gabi sa passage. My prayer for us tonight is that we would also be warned against the sin of indulging and nurturing the praises of men. So as brother in Christ, I would like to remind us, at the same time warn all of us, that outward devotion to God is meaningless when done with self-serving intention. Outward devotion to God is meaningless or even damning when done with self-serving intention. Again tonight, I know we're used to 2 or 3 point sermons. We will be having a 1 point sermon, and that is the point. Niwan natin last week si Jesus sa temple. Ayon sa parallel passage in Luke chapter 20, verse 45, he was instructing his disciples kung nasa ng crowd ay nandoon. So technically, he was instructing his disciples nandun ang crowd. So basically, naririnig din nila yung instruction na binibigay ni Jesus sa mga disciples. Nagbigay siya ng warning about the scribes and the Pharisees. They warned them about their dangerous devotion. Their dangerous devotion. Now, sa mga lumaki sa Sunday school or sa church, alam natin na kung saan ang mga scribes at saka Pharisees ay yung kontrabida sa New Testament. Diba? Sila lagi yung kaaway ni Jesus Christ at ang kanyang mga disciples. Yung natawag na villain, if you wanna use that term, yun ang tingin nila. But during the Bible times, sa time na ito, it's not really the case. Okay? Ang mga scribes ay conservative sa kanilang theology, actually. Hindi sila mga liberal. Malalim ang kanilang pinag-aralan patungkol sa Old Testament, particularly sa Torah at sa mga Levitical laws. At dahil dito, ang tingin ng mga tao sa kanila ay mga bida, the good guys. Faithful men of God, holy, righteous, at mga dalubhasa pagdating sa salita ng Diyos. Kaya naman sila ay admired and highly respected by the people. Ito yung tipong magkamali ka lang ng komento sa mga mamang ito, mau-offend kagad yung mga tao. Okay? Alam niyo, ano yung feeling na yun, di ba? Na meron kayong mga tao na kung saan tinitingala o ina-admire, na sinusundan, mga video pastors or preachers or mga author ng mga book or mga writers. Kapag may magsabi ng masamang komento, yung biglang nagagalit tayo at naiinis tayo, biglang nagkakaroon tayo ng hate, kung may hate button man, wala naman ata, nagiging haters tayo ng mga tao na kasi na-offend tayo eh. So, yun po yung tingin ng mga tao sa mga mamang ito. Ito yung mararamdaman nila if you go against them. Which is interesting, as you meditate on that, ano ba ginagawa ni Jesus for the past weeks na pag-aaral natin? He was correcting them. He was rebuking them. But the opposite happened. He became even more popular. They were amazed is the common language. Diba? Dumbfounded naman yung iba. As a matter of fact, Jesus is respectful sa kanilang authority. At nirerespeto niya ang kanilang teaching to a certain extent at ayon to a certain extent. Mas long as ito ay nalilinya sa salita ng Diyos. At ayon sa parallel passage natin ngayon sa Matthew 23 verse 3, he encouraged ang mga tao na pakinggan ang mga sinasabi ng mga scribes and Pharisees. Basta lamang naaayon ito sa salita ng Diyos. So ang kailangan natin unawain na si Jesus did not accuse them for bad theology. Okay? Or teaching. Or ang issue ni Jesus ay ang kanilang mga heart motives. Ang mga maling intentions. Maling application marahil o pag-uunawa. And at the same time, not living what they are preaching. Kasi ang mga outward devotion nila ay meaningless. Furthermore, damnable sa harapan ng Panginoon when they do it with self-serving intention. At nakikita ng kanilang puso sa pamamagitan ng kanilang pamumuhay. I remember joking around with an elderly pastor years ago, and he said, "Let me stop you." Sabi niya sa akin, because sa mga lumalabas, namumutawi sa aking labi. And sabi niya sa akin, "You have to stop because I can see your heart." Medyo na-rebuke ako ron. I was joking around and medyo hindi ata maganda yung biro ko. Sabi niya, "I can see yung heart mo." So, maybe he was joking, maybe I'm not. Pero yun ang titingnan natin ngayon dito. Yung mga hearts ng mga Pharisees na kung saan isisiwalat ng ating Panginoon Hesukristo. Verses 38 to 40. And in his teaching, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and of the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts." Let's stop right there. Ang passage na ito ay medyo negative. Medyo negative siya. Pero makita natin ilan sa mga negatibong characteristics na mga manlilingkod na dapat magsilbing babala din sa atin. These are servants of God, itong mga priests, mga scribes na ito. Pero Jesus gave a warning, and this warning is also applicable sa atin lahat ngayong gabi. Pansinin natin ang sinabi ni Jesus muli sa verse 38. "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes." Anong problema ron? Kung iisipin mo. Come on. One of the few things that you have to understand when you're reading the Bible, you have to ask questions. Now, hindi concern ni Jesus ang kanyang fashion sense. No, hindi issue, hindi siya fashion police na sinisita niya na. Hindi yun ang concern niya. It's more on how they dressed in a particular way that draws attention sa kanilang mga sarili, which they like. Long robes. Ito po ay kadalasan na puting mahabang robe, okay? Parang malakundura yung dating po niya. Ito po yung tipong hindi ordinaryong robe na sinusuod ng ordinaryong manda. Kasi ibang mga tao ng time na yun, iba-iba yung mga kulay na sinusuod. Some of them are worn out. Some of them ay medyo faded na. So, kapag itong mga mamang ito naglalakad, may puti. Of course, may halong ibang kulay yan. Pero nang umumutawi ang kanyang kaputian, napapansin ulit kagad ito ng mga tao. Kaya paglakad nila sa public, puting-puti ang kanilang robe na kung saan habang naglalakad sila flowing pa. No? So mga tao napapansin, nakikita yon. Kaya sasabihin ng mga tao, "Wow! Ibang klase ang baro ni Parasya. Kabanalan." Alam mo yan, naririnig ko na yan bilang pastor. Minsan nakabarong ako. Wow, pastorable. One time naman, naka-Chuck Taylor ako rito. Mag-preach ka ba talaga? But anyway, they like this. Kasi yung feeling niya, mga tao, pag nakita sila, is nabibless sila. Sa parallel passage natin sa Matthew chapter 23, verse 5, nagbigay pa ito ng mga karagdagang details. So I like to cross-reference sa parallel passage niya just to give more of the details kung ano mga kasuotan nila. Matthew 23, verse 5. "They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long." Now, dalawa'y nabanggit dyan. Lengthened tassels or fringes. At tingnan, naglagay ata ako ng mga images dyan. Ayan, itsura niyan. Ang tassels or fringes ay mga knotted na tali po na nakalawlaw po na hanging sa kanilang four corners ng garment. Kadalasan po yan, pag meron po nakalagay sa ibabaw, yung apat na kanto niyan, tinatalian po niya yan. So habang naglalakad sila, lumalaylay po yan ng ganyan. Okay? Ang paggamit ng tassel ay pinag-utos ito ng Panginoon sa Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 22, Matthew 20, Numbers chapter 15, makikita po natin dyan. So, God ordered them to do that in order to separate them from the pagan nations. It identifies them as God's people. Kaya naman, ginawan nila ng tassel, pinapagawa nila hindi ordinaryo, todo haba, no? Na kung saan mapapansin habang naglalakad sila. Kaya pagdaan nila ang mga tao, again, makikita yung kanilang tassel na ganun kaingarbo, loosely na lumalay, sasabihin na, grabe talaga. Grabe talaga mga Pharisees talagang ito. Kitang-kitang haba ng tassel, kabanalan. Yun yung agad yung gauge, ano? Puting robe, tassel na lumalay, kabanalan ho agad. Phylacteries. Ano ang phylacteries? Ang phylacteries po ay, which is very interesting, ay parang box type na, maliit na box sa container na nakatali po sa noo, sa gitna, sa forehead, sa gitna ng mata mismo ng mga scribes. Okay, minsan nakatali po yan sa arm, meron din po yan, na malapit sa heart. Nakalakip doon ay nakarolyo sa loob some particular scripture passages gaya ng Deuteronomy or Exodus or ibang mga bahagi ng law or prophet. So nakarolyo lahat ho yun na nakalagay doon. At kapag nakita sila ng mga tao, sasabihin nila, "Wow, committed sa salita ng Diyos." Some say kahabang pagmalaki ho yung phylacteries, ibig sabihin ganung kalaki at karami ang kanilang nalalaman. So isipin mo na lang kung kabisado nila lahat. Eh, hindi nakikita, sayang. Oh. Parang may butas tuloy sa noo. Pero may ano yan, nakatali ho yan dyan. So isipin mo, naglalakad, flowing yung robes, tassel, raptories, as may ganun sa ulo. Pag makakita ho kayo nandito, hindi ho kayo masosyalan. Hindi ho kayo mababanalan. No? Pero nung time na yun, wow! Pharisee, rabbi, yeah. Litaw na litaw eh. Kitang-kita sila. So yun po yun. At hindi po natatapos po dito. Verse 38, balik tayo sa Mark chapter 12, verse 38. So hindi lang pa, mismo sa kasuotan sila nakakakuha ng attention or ng appreciation. They also like greetings in the marketplaces. Gustong-gusto nila na binabati sila with honor and respect. No? So in a public place na kung saan busy sa tao, and from there, gustong-gusto nila tinatawag sila doon. Gustong-gusto nila tinatawag silang rabbi, which means teacher, master, father. Ayan, gustong-gusto nila yan. Nakakataba ng kanilang puso yun, nakakapaypay ng kanilang pride. Ultimo, ang pagpunta nila sa sinagoga to worship, gustong-gusto din po nila napapansin sila. Tingnan niyo yung verse 39. And like, they like to have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts. Now, sa panahon mo natin, hindi po front seat ang pinaka-famous pagpupunta ka ng church. Hindi po yan yung lugar na kung saan gusto nating umupo. No? Kadalasan sa gitna, or sa likod, o sa gilid, na kung saan hindi makikita ni pastor. No? Kung pag sumisegue siya ng ganyan. No? Ha! Kita ko kayo lahat. Pero the front row is not really a popular thing. But for the Pharisees, ang best place sa kanila ay sa harap. Now, I'm not just talking about sitting at the front row seat. I'm talking about having chairs or seats sa harapan ng stage na nakaharap sa tao. Kaya isipin mo, sa aisle, papasok sila. Robe. Dediretso ho dito yan sa harap. Tinitignan ng mga tao at gusto rin nilang tinitignan sila ng tao. That builds pride. Again, galing kay Jesus yung mga observations na ito. From these lifestyles, they're revealing kung ano yung nasa heart nila. In that way, nasisilayan nila yung mga tao pag nasa harapan at nasisilay sila. Feast. Pagpunta nila sa feast dito, maaaring katumbas din ho yan ng kasalan sa atin or any occasion na kung saan malaki ang handaan, kung saan special. Darating sila, usually, last minute. Bago magsimula. At pagdating nila, gustong-gusto nila yan. May mag-a-usher sila. Di ba usually pagkasalan, may mga table number. Mga pala yung table number mo. Ay, wala ka sa table number. Sigurado ka, may imbitado ka. So anyway, pupunta ka sa kasalan, hanapin mo yung mga upuan, di ba? Pag alam mo yung may special guest nandun yan, minsan nasa gitna, di ba? Nakaupo yan, nakahilera. O kaya naman katabi ng guest of honor, yan. Ang mga Pharisees, hindi na nila kailangan hanapin. May mag-a-ushers. Kasi alam nila eh. O nasa ng, anong upuan nila? Lalakad sila, flowing yung kanilang robe, tassel nila, gumagano na naman. And from there, kitang-kita sila. Gustong-gusto nila. The clothing, the greetings, and special treatments. They loved it. Gustong-gusto nila ang ganitong klaseng treatment. At ang sinasabi ni Jesus, these so-called servants are men-pleasers. They're men pleasers. Gustong-gusto nila maparangalanan. They cared more about how they were perceived than the reality of their holiness. They desire to be honored by men. Men. They wanted to appear to be holy without actually living in holiness. Jesus is saying their outward devotion to Him is meaningless because they have done it with selfish intent. Mga kaibigan, there are so many outward ways na pwede natin ipakita na tayo ay deboto at tapat sa ating Panginoon. And yet, live our lives as if we were not been transformed by the grace of God. So church, we can learn the songs. We can learn the prayers. We can learn the order of service. We can predict what is the next agenda. Because the truth of the matter is, we just learn them. We can learn the language of the church. But we can learn all of these. Pwede natin matutunan lahat ng mga bagay na ito kahit walang Kristo. Because the truth of the matter is, it's all about appearance. It's all about appearance. Mga kaibigan, tayo po'y namumuhay sa panahon that we care more about appearances than reality. We will do all that it takes to fake it. Do all it takes to flat out lie about it. Do what it takes to filter it. Do what it takes to use people just to make us look good. Just to make us feel good. Or we use people as a means to an end. We use people for us to look godly. You said it means to an end. Ano yung ends? Here's the ends. That we would get the praises. Mga kaibigan, ang sinasabi ng Panginoon sa atin ngayong gabi ay wag. Wag. Wag nating gawing ito sa relationship natin sa Kanya. Friends, do you care more about what other people think about you than what your Heavenly Father thinks of you? Clearly in this passage, nagbigay ng babala. Clearly in this passage, it gave all of us a warning galing sa Panginoon. It gave a warning sa aming mga mangangaral ng salita ng Diyos. It was a difficult passage aralin to para sa akin personally because I felt nothing but rebuke. It's even harder to preach this. To not seek, anong pangungusap, anong pangaral, anong warning? Here's the warning sa aming mga mangangaral at manlilingkod ng salita ng Diyos. Here it is. To not seek honor for ourselves as a gospel minister, as a gospel ministry na pinagkatiwala sa amin ng Panginoon. We should not seek honor and praises from men, especially serving yung mismong church that Christ died for. At nagbigay din siya, by the way, ng babala sa lahat ng followers ni Jesus Christ. And ito po yung babala. Here's the warning. To not seek to exalt the teachers and ministers of God's word too highly sa ating pananalita. Kasi po ang tunay na followers ni Jesus should neither seek honor or praise for honor or praises for themselves and to not unduly exalt those who are leading God's word or teaching God's word. Kasi isa lang po dapat ang ma-exalt sa iglesia ng Panginoon Hesukristo. Ang Panginoong Hesukristo. Hindi ang pastor. That's why we as a church need to remind us not to overly praise a pastor. I'll get back to that mamaya. May questions kayo dyan, I know. Kasi isa lang po dapat ma-exalt si Jesus. Not the pastor, not the prominent member, not anyone na nasa nanunungkulan sa iglesia na ito. Oh friends, this is my prayer for us at Crossroads, that we would grow as Christ exalters. corporately and individually. That is my prayer. Sa passage natin, God is warning ang mga Pharisees na naghahangad na maitaas ang kanilang mga sarili dahil sa mga titles at saka treatment na tinatawag at tinuturing sa kanila ng madla. God is also warning ang mga religious followers dahil sa pag-exalt nila sa kanilang mga spiritual leaders ng sobra-sobra. Mga titles, mga tinatawag nila sa kanila, pati yung treatment. Isang malaking paalaala sa amin itong mga mamangaral ng salita ng Diyos, again, that we are not to seek honor and praises and privileges galing sa tao. It is true, it is very true, there are great temptations para sa aming mga mangangaral ng salita ng Diyos to be proud, to be arrogant, and to be self-entitled. That's our greatest temptation, or one of our great temptations. So I urge you, Crossroads, pray for us. Pray for us elders. Pray that the elders would grow in humility, that we would grow in service, that we would grow in exalting Christ sa aming mga life, that you would grow and lovingly confront us. At sa ating mga followers ni Jesus Christ. Okay? As an immediate application, if you are a lady or a woman ngayong gabi na to, may opportunity for you to pray for the elders and the men ng Crossroads. So that's tomorrow. So ladies, fellowship and prayer time. If wala pa kayong group, oh, I encourage you to reach out sa aking wife, si Diane. Diana.litonwa@yahoo.com. Madali lang matandaan. Diana.litonwa@yahoo.com. Or you can approach me after the service if you are interested to be fellowshipping in prayer. At sa ating mga followers ni Christ, we are encouraged not to over-exalt the mere men that the Lord have placed over us as spiritual leaders. This is coming from one of your elders. Now, to do not put your pastors in the pedestal. Kasi dapat ang si Kristo lang. Kung meron man sa pedestal at nakatayo, dapat kami ang tapakan. Si Kristo ang nakatapak. Si Kristo ang nakataas. When Peter arrived to meet Cornelius, because Peter had a dream, and Cornelius had one na kung saan kailangan ipatawag si Peter, eto po ang naging response ni Peter, ni Cornelius na nakita niya si Peter. Acts chapter 10, verse 25 to 26. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." Claro. Oh, what about, let's open Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse 11 hanggang 15. And when the crowds, or by the way, background dito, Paul healed a crippled man. Nung napagaling niya yung mamang lumpo na ito sa Listeria, ito yung naging reaction ng mga tao. Kaya mga Greeks ho ito, ito ang reaction nila. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices saying in Lyconian, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance of the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifices with the crowds." Akala nila mga Diyos-Diyosan si Peter at Barnabas. Akala na si Zeus at si Hermes naglabas ng mga isa-sacrifice. 14, "And when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments as a sign of grieving. And rushed out into the crowd, crying out, 'Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made heaven and earth.'" Friends, your pastors your leaders, are also your brothers. They need your prayers. They need your support. Now, just to give a disclaimer, I'm not saying wag nyo in-encourage yung pastor. Yung pala ang takeaway namin dito. Wag na natin i-encourage si pastor. Hindi po yun ang sinasabi. Isnabi natin, ano? Wag natin, baka sabihin, pinipraise natin siya. Wag nga natin ngitian. Yan ang pinipraise niya. Immediate application kami niyan. No, that's not what I'm saying, okay? I'm not saying discourage your pastor. I still say encourage your pastor. That's a Bible, yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 7, that you would honor them and respect them. Honor them, those who labor in the word and teaching. So let me help you out. If you want to encourage your pastors, if you are encouraged sa kanyang teaching, if you're encouraged sa kanyang preaching, tell them na na-encourage kayo. But make sure you tell them bakit kayo na-encourage. Kasi this will help us understand kung talagang naiintindihan ba ng tao. Kasi sometimes the pastors can be the most insecure guy in the group. Okay? Kasi we know we are filled with educators and people who can communicate well than the pastor. And sometimes we're not sure of ourselves and we need to trust the Lord in everything. So help allowing us to hear na na-bless kami because nung sinabi mo to from God's Word, that's a huge thing sa amin. That's a huge thing. That allows us, that fuels our passion to study more, to labor more for the Word, to continue with the teaching of the Word. What encourage elders? You encourage your elders by saying, you know what? I shared the gospel to someone nakatabi ko sa bus. That's a huge encouragement sa amin. Or you encourage your elders or your pastors na kung saan you tell them how your walk, how the Lord Jesus Christ is working in your life. Tell them, share them your testimony. Tell them how the Lord is transforming you. Encourage then your pastor by trusting some of your cares and concerns. We would like to help, but not all of us have the ability to reach out everybody. That's a sign of trust. And that's what you call family. Here's Jesus' final warning, at least a passage natin, so verse 14. Who devours widows? They like doing this. They devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. Hindi kaya po ng Sadducees, ang mga scribes po ay hindi gaano kanong financially stable. Okay? Kasi ang scribes po ay nakadepende sa mga gifts ng worshipers, and benefactors ng kanilang livelihood. Oh, ito, may talong. Please, ito, bibigyan kita ng talong. May konting ano ng mga, ano ah, ang insekto, pero yun lang ang kinita natin. So parang yun lang natatanggap nila. So ang ginagawa po nila is ini-exploit nila ang mga mahihina, ang mga, lalo na yung mga widows. No? Inaabuso nila ang generosity. Itong mga very people na tumutulong, inaabuso po nila. Ang gagawin po nila is first, they will pray. They will be praying on the widows. No, they. How do they pray? Manipulating them. O bibiktimahin sila, imamanipulahin sila. Alam mo, sis, kapag magbibigay ka sa akin ng doble at higit, pagpe-pray kita. At kapag nag-pray kita, sasagutin ng Panginoon yan. If you do your history on this topic, yes. That's what they're doing. They're manipulating. Ginagalang na sila eh. Lalapit si pastor, hihingi ng tulong sa akin, tapos pagpe-pray ako, gusto ko yan. Widow, why? They're vulnerable. They're grieving. Actually, pag you become a widow, yung financial support mo is in trouble. But yet, ito yung mga ano, pagpe-pray kita, bigyan mo ako. And they manipulate. They pray. Okay? Anong ang gagawin nila is first they will prey on the widows, victimizing them in cunning ways, manipulate them. They prey on them, and then after that, they pray for them. Ano yung play on words? Pray and then pray. Ah, sige, nabigyan kita ngayon, ipagpipray kita ngayon. Okay? They'll say long prayers, mga mabubulaklak na panalangin. And from there, sige, alalahanin pa kita, sasagutin ng Panginoon yan, mga panalangin mong yan. So, there's a form of manipulation. I remember having a conversation with a new member sa Redeemer. I'm not sure kung siya yung naka-member interview ko. But she was sharing a story na kung saan she came from a church na kung saan who was very manipulative. The leader says na ibenta yung business and then give yung proceeds and the Lord will bless itong business na itatayo ng church. Long story short, she left the church, broken, destroyed. She was taken advantage of. And that's really sad. Friends, this is the scheme of the prosperity gospel preaching churches. This is the scheme of a prosperity gospel preacher. The problem with the prosperity gospel message and the prosperity gospel messenger is they don't praise Jesus. They praise prosperity. Yun ang kanilang ine-exalt. And when the Bible tells us we preach no other gospel but Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Ito yung gospel. Some would say, hindi naman kami nagtuturo ng gospel ng prosperity, Pastor. Hindi naman namin tawag yun. Well, gospel means good news. Which means kung ano yung madalas nyo ikwento sa pulpit nyo, which you consider at good news, that is your gospel. And the gospel is health, wealth, success, victory will promise you everything. They will promise you everything. Of course, there's something in return. You do this, you give that, and we will pray, and God will bless, God will give. They will offer you everything except Christ for joy, for salvation, for satisfaction. Those who continue in this teaching, those who continue in this is condemned. Sadly, friends, we easily buy into this lie. Kasi ang sinful hearts natin wants to be exalted. Our fallen nature always wanted to be praised. Ang galing-galing mo. Mukha kang bata ngayon. Ang galing naman ang talents. We want that. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we will do things just to receive more of that? You learn this from kids, hindi ba? Ang galing-galing naman ni nene. At biglang sasayaw pa, no? Ang galing sumayaw ni nene. At biglang bumilis, di ba? And sometimes we grown-ups are still the same. Wow, gumagwapo ka ngayon, ha? Ganun ba? Pumuputi ka ngayon. Well, apaka-generous mo bilang hindi na magsasalita. Pera na kasi ang ilalabas eh. No? But here's my point. All of us gravitate towards wanting to be praised. And sometimes we will do everything that we could just to get it. We will spend most of our money, most of our attention, most of everything para maitaas lang tayo. And the Bible says, idolatry. God does not share His glory, His praises to anyone. Jesus Christ is our hope. This is the hope that we have. There is a person who left the praises of heaven in order to live with us, people who do not know Him or have rejected Him. But unlike us, He was fully devoted to God. He lived a life that exalted God the Father, and this person is Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that by His poverty might become rich." Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 9, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." Jesus Christ lived a perfect life that none of us could. lived the holy life that none of us could, and died on that cross that you and I deserve. There was a great exchange na dapat tayong nakapako, tayong pinarusan. Jesus Christ took the cross, bore our sins, received the undiluted wrath of God that He felt it, experienced it. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Friends, Jesus was forsaken so that you and I may be forgiven. Repent from our sins and put our faith in Christ's finished work on the cross for salvation, for reconciliation, for healing, for joy that will last for eternity. We can be devoted to God with so many motives, different motives. But here's the beauty: when you respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are reconciled to God the Father. All of the things that you do for God, He will never reject it. It's not filthy rags na sa harapan niya. It's now pleasing aroma for Him. Friends, maybe it's your first time to be in church right now, in this specific church. This is the hope that we come together and rejoice God for. Would you consider this? Would you think about this? Would this be your hope? Probably you have tried so many churches, tried so many preachings, and tried so many things that you feel empty. That's the problem. You're trying to solve it by yourself. The problem of humanity is already solved on the cross. You only have to respond. Outward devotion to God is meaningless when done with self-serving intentions. Let us pray. Father, praying that tonight would be the night of someone's salvation. As they heard the gospel preached, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would turn hearts of stones to a heart of flesh, that you would take them out of darkness into your light. As the message has been preached, Lord, we ministers of the word, regardless that we're elders or deacons or Bible study leaders or a father or a mother who is faithful to Bible study or an online minister, Lord, we pray that we would be reminded of this truth, that we are serving you not for our honor and glory and praises. Would you help us repent from this sin of being a glory thief, but attribute everything to your honor and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.